So Joshua sent them out, and they went to the place of ambush and lay between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai, but Joshua spent that night among the people. Joshua arose early in the morning. He's an early riser. One pastor made a big point about this, you know, how faithful Christians should wake up early in the morning. I don't know. I'm okay with that. But I like to sleep in sometimes too. But Joshua arose early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai, to Ai. And all the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai, with a ravine between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces, the main encampment that was north of the city and its rear guard west of the city, but Joshua spent that night in the valley. All right, notice here, if God's given them Ai, why all the trouble? Why all the strategy? Why all the planning? Why all the organization? Why all the division of labor? Why all of that? Yeah, but God's given them, he's already said, you're going to win. I've given you the city. Go for it. Why not just run, just go get it. Why? All right, guys, let's go get it, big giant mob, right? It is a trial, and it's definitely for their edification. But for some reason, God wants us to use our brains. He wants us to image him and to be smart and to be savvy and to be strategic. And in this case, to be cunning, because they trick them. They do they fake left and go right sort of thing. They lie. All right. Remember, we've been through this. You can lie to the devil. Jesus lies to the devil. People get upset when I say that, but it's true. That happened. All right. He didn't sin. God never sins, but he does lie. He lied to the devil, right? And the Bible says that if the devil would have known what the cross was all about, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus. He got tricked. Fake left, went right, because it's holy war. So God wants us to do all this. When we want to build this church right here, God, I think God wants us to have a sanctuary. He wants us to worship, but he doesn't want us. We don't be idiots about it. We have to be strategic and we have to be smart. Our church has a particular frontier, right? Acadiana, or maybe not quite that big, but we have our lane, right? We have our the place we've staked our flag. We're Christians. We're in Acadiana. This is where we are serving. See what I mean? This is where God has sent us. And so we have to be strategic as a church to make an impact. We have to be strategic. We have to plan. We have to organize. And everybody has their own little part to play. There's a division of labor. Not everybody's an eyeball. We're not one giant eyeball. Everybody has their different parts in the body so that all together we image Christ and we exercise dominion and we expand the kingdom in Acadiana, our place of service and responsibility. And I hope you've done that. I hope you've claimed your place, your town. I say Acadiana because it's a regional place. It has an identity. I hope you've claimed it. You're like, this is where God has me, and I'm going to make a difference here. This is where he's placed me, and I'm going to make a difference here. Because we can't all serve, I don't know, where's cool places? North Idaho. We can't all, all the Christians can't. They have a lot of Christians there. They're fine. They don't need any more. We need more Christians out here, right? Even in the summer times. Or New York, or if you're a Tim Keller fan, whatever. Whoever, whatever you like. or Houston, if you're a Joel Osteen fan. You know, we have our own place. I'm joking. That was a joke. Or Saddleback, or whatever. All right, let's move on. We got 15 more minutes, Joshua chapter 8. Let's go to verse 24. When Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness where they pursued them, and all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai and struck it down with the edge of the sword. So this is harem warfare. Remember, we learned about that. It's genocidal warfare. God is judging them. It's judgment day for Ai. You're not allowed to do this anymore. There are principles of war in the Bible, and they are not this. You can't do this in war. Like, you can't, in war, in biblical just war, you can't kill women and children, can't cut down fruit trees, can't burn cities, can't do any of those things. That's why things like the atom bomb are evil. That's not just war. but this is holy war, haram warfare, and God used Israel as a tool of judgment in this time period. He does not use the church that way, okay? That's one of the things that are no longer the same. He does use the church in this way, but this is a type of expanding the kingdom. Our sword is our preaching and teaching and our lives. That's how we conquer the land. We convert. God doesn't use the church to expand his kingdom with the sword, right? You remember what he told Peter, right? That's not how we're doing it right now. So that is one of the things that were fulfilled in Christ. But let me ask you this question. They're beating Jericho, and now they're beating Ai, and you know they're moving. God has given them the land. They've seen signs and wonders and miracles. Progress, right? And we believe that for the world, right? I believe that for the world. But how come shouldn't we see more progress though? Should we see more progress? Have you ever wondered, like, if Pastor Brandon always says there's hope for the world, there's going to be victory in history, that Jesus is expanding his kingdom. He's winning the nations to himself. Y'all know I say that occasionally, right? Like when he said, go and disciple the nations, he didn't say, but don't get your hopes up. Like, don't get too excited about it. You're actually only going to save a small, tiny remnant. But most of billions and billions and billions of people are all going to hell. He didn't say that, did he? He discipled the nations, and you really get the impression when you read that, that we can do this, and we're going to win, right? Okay, good.
He starts it by saying that all authority on heaven and earth is
in me. Yeah, exactly. And his disciples are fishermen. He sends them out. He's like, no, cast your nets over here. And what do they get? They get a tiny little bit of, oh, we finally saved a few people. No, they get a massive nets full. I always believed that the world was getting worse, that there weren't going to be that many Christians. In the very end, there's just going to be like five or six left. When Jesus finally comes back, the devil's won, and then finally Jesus comes back. No, I that's how I was raised. But I'm telling you, the devil doesn't win. Jesus wins. And he wins with his bride. Dominion is going to be taken. Dominion has been taken. And dominion will have been taken at the very end, okay? And that is, of course, called positive eschatology, right? Positive eschatology. It also goes by the name of postmillennialism, right? But that name clouds the issues. It really does. It's an unfortunate name. Like John Calvin never had to have, oh, are you postmillennial or amillennial? That language wasn't there. That language makes things very confusing. So that's why I'm trying to teach the church positive eschatology, because I also feel like that you can slip that in. Like people have their defenses up. They're like, I don't know about, you know, this stuff Pastor Brandon's teaching. I say, but you're positive, right? Positive eschatology? Well, yeah. I was like, okay, that's all I'm saying. Right, it's a teaching technique. It's like when you are herding sheep, the last thing you do, I've heard sheep before, you know, the last thing you do, you don't ever let them know the gate you're trying to get them to go through. You never do it. As soon as they are like, as soon as the sheep find out that you want them in that gate, they will go anywhere but that gate. Remember that, Jew? And goats, forget about goats. They're all going to hell. But you you cannot herd goats. You can only scare goats. You cannot herd them. But the sheep will generally go. If you just move slow, don't advance too quickly. Just generally go. And if they're going generally in the direction, you just kind of, but you don't spook them. You don't move too quick. Then they'll, and that's what it's like. And you know, y'all aren't pastors, but with your kids, you got to remember that. With your kids, and one of the rules, if they're generally going in the right direction, you just walk slow. Don't look at them in the eyes. Just don't walk slow. You know, just generally kind of funnel them in. You know, that's how you do it. So, and you're a mom and a dad, so you can get on, you know, if you're fortunate, but you can get on both sides of those kids, and you can just slowly funnel them in. That's how you got to do it. So, all right. But shouldn't we see, here's the question I wanted to address. Shouldn't we see more progress, though? A lot of people say that. They're like, look out of the world. Nuclear war. We're on the verge of nuclear war. We got the Fauci-ouchie. sorry. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's where I'm kind of going with this. But shouldn't we see more progress? But think about this. If what we're saying is true, if you look at the scriptures, it's not always advancing at the pace that we would like. You think God? One thing God has is time, right? It's like he's got all the time in the world. The Bible tells us, the Bible says one day, you know, the Bible says 1,000 years, that's like one day to God. And I think that, and that's actually what that means. That's what that means. It means that God is not in a hurry at all. And if you need, if your whole generation needs to take 40 years to die, he's fine waiting 40 years. He'll use the kids. And I think that's probably what he's doing right now, honestly. I think the boomer generation, they done messed it up. And they're just not individuals. My dad's a boomer. But corporately, they're all our political leaders. Corporately, they're just going to all die off. And maybe, hopefully the Gen Yers or whatever they're called these days, hopefully the next generation does better, right? But God doesn't mind taking time. And if you need to learn a lesson and get embarrassed at AI, he's fine with that too. You know? And, well, we just lost AI. There's no success. I have negative eschatology now. No. No, we don't do that. Because even their loss at AI is moving them in the right direction, isn't it? Even their loss is a win, right? Ultimately, that's right. We prefer to win, but even when we lose, God's fine. God's still moving. But also, just think about that word, shouldn't we see more progress? That presumes, the premise there is that we have that we deserve, sure, but that we actually have the ability to interpret providence. That we have the ability with our reason and our observation to put two and two together with God. But God moves, that's above our pay grade, right? God moves in mysterious ways, and he also likes to surprise us. But listen to this quote from a pastor. It says this: God required Israel to camp on the banks of the Jordan for 3 days before he stopped the waters and took them across on dry land. Isn't that interesting? He said, he's like, go into the promised land. You're going to cross the Jordan. And remember, the Jordan was swollen. It was flood stage, rushing waters. You know, this is a major miracle. But he made them sit on the edge of the thing for 3 days. Right? After the promise, you know, all the positivity. I'll give you the land. And they're just 3 days. Right? Oh, y'all are positive. Have you seen the news lately? The water's just rushing by. Ooh, probably, yeah. I like to say probably with those kind of things, because it probably does. But think about that. For 3 days, all Israel had to camp near the banks of the Jordan and look at an impossible crossing. 3 days gave them enough time to do what? Yeah, one day, you'd be like, okay, that makes sense, one day. Right? We needed the pack anyway, right? But 3 days is probably enough time. And now that you mention it, it really is starting to sound like the time in the burial. That's interesting. And he was raised up when he crosses over the Jordan. Yeah, definitely. All right. I'm going from a probably to a definitely. But 3 days was enough for the disciples to be like, we lost. He died and we lost. And they did all do that, didn't they? Remember? All the positivity gone. 3 days, doggone it! Like 3 days. Now, what should they have done? They should have believed based on what they had heard. But because they didn't see, they didn't believe. That's what the phrase "Shouldn't we see more progress?" That's what it means. Is I trust my eyes, not what I hear in the promises of God. It's a lack of faith. What is it? We're supposed to walk, that is, live by faith, not sight, right? And we're supposed to believe what we hear, and then one day we might, from time to time, see. But you will never see if you don't believe what you hear. Why would he tell you, why would he show you things if you won't believe what you, what he says? You understand what I mean? That's why believing positive eschatology, just to put it bluntly, is a spiritual issue, right? And it requires faith, and faith is a gift. And that's why not only do you provide good arguments, you have to pray for people. Because their ears aren't open. And so no matter what you show them, they will not see it because they don't believe the promises. They don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. And they see the water rushing by 3 days. Shouldn't we see the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Look at that. Yeah, but don't you know the promises? Don't you know the promises? And this is just something that God does. He, from time to time, puts you in situations where you're just right there on the edge of an impossibility for enough days for you to start doubting. He does that. He intentionally does that to you. You want to have a kid. You want to be married. You want your life to move on. You want to get a job. You want to get the particular promotion. You want to have victory over anxiety. Whatever it is, he sticks you in a spot where you're seeing nothing, and it seems like an impossibility. And he does that to test your faith, to test you. Right? Isn't that true? I'm sure you've all experienced that from time to time. And the goal is to not doubt, but to believe the promises. Right? We are to believe what we hear until one day we get to walk by sight. But right now we have to walk by faith. Amen. I think that's pretty good. Any thoughts, any questions? One more minute. I like to be a good steward of time, at least these last 2 minutes. Yeah? Of Joshua or of this class?
Of this class.
Oh. Oh, the city that Achan had stole some stuff in Jericho and kept it in his tent. And so God's favor was removed from Israel, and they lost the next battle, right there in Joshua 5, 6, and 7. Oh, I got something to say. Stuller gave us 50,000. So it's pretty good. 50,000, and Stacy and others are going to make the big announcement, fancy announcement online, I think. I guess we'll have to figure out how to do that. But it's matching funds, 50,000. And I texted somebody, was like, so is it too soon to start the next application? I was like, I'm thinking what we'll do is we'll finish the building and then we'll apply for the flooring, because the flooring is about 75,000. And so that'll be a good thing to apply for next. But I mean, what a generous guy, or generous family. But 50,000 matching funds. And I think that's pretty awesome. So if you know any rich people, tell them, look, Matt Stuller gave us 50,000. Like, I thought you were rich too. Like, use their ego against them. So, all right, but that's pretty cool. And we've already raised 53,000. So we're still trying to figure out if they let us count that, or if they want us to start from scratch. I'm not sure. Either way is fine, though. Because I think we could raise another 50, but we've already raised 53, and we have a jogathon coming up, which is going to be awesome. So we already got 50,000. Yeah, I know, it's pretty cool. So God's good. Wait, what? Yeah, the goal for the church is 75. I was believing that. I was hoping that Stellar was going to do 100,000. So we'd hit 75, and then he'd say 100,000. We're like, okay, guys, 25 more to go. And but 50 is good. God gave us 53. Stellar's given us 50. God's given us another 50. So it's exciting. So, all right, y'all have a good evening.